Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Today, the U.S. Supreme Court is scheduled to review the constitutionality of life sentences without parole for juveniles convicted of murder. It's an issue that many in Massachusetts are closely monitoring. Not only have members of the state's judicial and academic communities weighed in before the court, but parents of both offenders and victims are also watching. WBUR's Deborah Becker reports.
Among those who are hopeful about today's U.S. Supreme Court hearing is Paul Odgren. His son John killed a classmate in a Lincoln Sudbury High School bathroom in 2007. 2 years ago, John was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
There aren't any magic words about a case like my son's or about other kids, but until you're dragged into this, I don't think you could possibly understand what the implications are of taking a very young person and saying that's it for them forever.
Paul and his wife, Dot Odgren, visit John about 3 times a week at Bridgewater State Hospital. That's where John's being held because of mental health issues. Dot Odgren says they try not to talk about the fact that the now 21-year-old John will probably be incarcerated for the rest of his life.
It's up and down. It's hard. He knows that he's there and he has no chance of ever leaving.
John Odgren is among the 59 Massachusetts inmates charged with homicide before age 18 and now serving a life sentence with no parole possible. Odgren was 16 when he fatally stabbed 15-year-old James Allenson. The Allenson family has not commented. But some family members of victims of juvenile offenders say these offenders should never be released.
If you're juvenile and you commit a crime, then I think you should be responsible to do the time that comes with it.
Olivia Singletary's 19-year-old son, Perry Hughes, was shot by a 16-year-old in Brookline in 2002. Singletary asks, why shouldn't the offender's loss be comparable to hers and her memories of the past decade, especially on certain days?
And the date of his birthday always comes up and the date that he died. You know what I mean? And I feel when these dates come up, I get these feelings in my body of depression. I've been under depression and mourning ever since.
Balancing the rights of young victims and offenders is not new. What's new is that the High Court has taken steps to reduce juvenile sentences. In 2005, the U.S. Supreme Court rejected the death penalty for those under 18. In 2010, the High Court found that it was unconstitutional to sentence juveniles to life in prison without parole for non-homicide offenses. Today, the justices hear arguments in cases involving a 13- and 14-year-old and whether their life without parole sentences are constitutional.
I basically think it's just wrong.
Gail Geringer is one of 6 Massachusetts judges who signed an amicus brief that's before the Supreme Court today. She is now Massachusetts' child advocate. The judges argue that what we now know about children's development should change the thinking about sentencing young offenders and allow them an opportunity to be evaluated for parole at some point.
We're dealing with children who really are biologically different from adults. They're still in formation. They're less to me culpable for their actions. And to make the judgment at the time of sentencing that a child must be confined to prison for the rest of their lives with no hope of reform or release is just wrong.
In Massachusetts, state law changed in 1996 to require that juveniles charged with murder who are between 14 and 17 years old have their cases automatically sent to adult court rather than juvenile court. The change was in response to the gruesome murder involving 15-year-old Eddie O'Brien of Somerville. He fatally stabbed his friend's mother. Retired juvenile court Chief Justice Martha Grace was on the bench then. She also signed today's Supreme Court brief saying retribution for victims does not mean justice.
I don't think there's any good argument for the victims who've lost somebody. Whether they spend their life in jail. Now, maybe if you lost a loved one, the juvenile who spends his entire life in jail and spends 23 hours a day in lockdown and goes crazy and ultimately dies, has some comfort to the victim. I don't know.
The National District Attorneys Association supports life without parole sentences for juveniles charged with murder and says the high court should keep them to protect public safety. Middlesex County District Attorney Jerry Leone issued a statement yesterday saying that the legislature has dealt with this issue and the intent remains clear. Those who take the life of another with atrocity are dangerous. Leone says the justice system has checks in place to ensure that a murder charge against a juvenile is used wisely. A Supreme Court ruling is expected this summer. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.